The subject I've been asked to talk about are just exhortations to the brethren. And when we look to exhortations, there are many in the Bible. So without much commentary, if you're taking notes or if you have your Bible, I'm going to go through several in the Old Testament, straight from the Old Testament, and then several from the New Testament, and the lesson will be yours. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, Moses exhorted the congregation of Israel to love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their person, and to impress his words on their children and keep his word central at home. I want you to read that text and read it to your children and think about the advantage of what Moses was saying and how that helps today. If we're not studying our Bibles with our children, if it's not the centerpiece of our lives in everything we do, then we can't say we're loving the Lord our God with our entire person. And so it really does start there. I found that that would be the best starting passage. Deuteronomy 6, again, verses 4 through 9. Joshua 1, 7 through 9. Joshua is encouraged by the Lord himself, and he's told to be strong and courageous. Do not fear. Do not fear the success tied to clinging to God's laws. Now, I want you to think about that for just a brief moment. He's told to be strong and very courageous, Joshua 1, 7 through 9, to do not fear the victories that are his in the Lord, but not to let those victories swell your mind or your head. I can say all day long that I'm on the Lord's side, I'm in his army, I'm undefeatable. That doesn't mean I can't defeat myself, though. But as long as I stand with the Lord, I should be very strong and very courageous in his word. Don't make his word look weak, because it's not. Be bold, be courageous, but make sure you're speaking the truth. Then you have nothing to be ashamed of. And that'll tie into some New Testament principles. When Saul, King Saul, was being coronated as king in 1 Samuel 12, 20 through 25, he is told, turn not aside from following the Lord. It's almost prophetic, as we know he will turn aside from serving the Lord. If he had only served the Lord without turning aside, and even when he failed, repented, like we'll learn in the next king's life, King David. That's the thing King David wanted. King David will repent when he fails. Saul won't. So we need to learn that lesson between the two kings there, that we can turn not aside from following the Lord. But if we fail, do like David, repent and accept the consequences, but don't forsake the Lord. That's an exhortation for us forever. Not only there, Solomon's exhortation in 1 Kings 8, 56 and following, let your heart be wholly devoted to the Lord to walk in his statutes. And Solomon himself is a man that will fail miserably in his life, but he knows that that's not the way it should be. Asa, King Asa in 2 Chronicles 15, verse about 3 and 4, the Bible says the Lord is with you while you be with him. The Lord is with you while you are with him. And that's 2 Chronicles 15, verse 4. Be strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak. Again, King Asa is told, as long as you're with the Lord, he's with you. And don't let your hands be weak. Be a confident, bold, courageous individual. What do you deem more important than that in this world? What does the world need? We don't need false confidence. We don't need pseudo. We don't need that. We need genuine, humble confidence, boldness in the Lord. And the Lord will bless you and bless those who are around you. Psalm 1. Psalm 1 is one of the greatest passages in the Bible, as it will contrast the righteous versus the wicked. And the exhortation there is to delight in the law of the Lord. And in that law, would we meditate in it day and night? I find myself waking up in the middle of the night. Do y'all do that? Now, I bought these. I'm supposed to not commentating, but I am now. These are blue light glasses because of how much screen time we all have, okay? Don't tell me you don't, because that's just, you're lying. But I get my phone, and I do that. I grab it, and I'll often go right to a Bible, blue letter Bible app, and I'll start to read something. Or I'll do a little research on a little something. I want to read until I get sleepy again, and then guess what? I take the blue light glasses off and the phone, I put it back up, and I go right back to sleep. That's just what happens. But in his law, I should be meditating upon it day and night. So take the Bible at all times and meditate upon it and let it work out your anxieties and your concerns. And we could go on and on through the Psalms. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. We preach that a lot here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean upon your own understanding. How many of us fail because we lean upon our own understanding all too often? I allow my own understanding, my own failures, my own fears to control my emotions, and thus it hinders me. And it hinders the Lord's work. So there's the reason behind Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and He will deliver you. Do you believe that? I believe it. I know it will work. And then this one, I love this one in Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 11. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Return to him. His word will accomplish its purpose. Now, I summarize that text. But seek the Lord while he may be found. What does that mean? Well, it means don't wait too late. It would be better for you to wake up right now or help others realize you need to wake up right now, because there's going to come a day and age where you're not going to be able to see too well, hear too well, and you may not be able to find him. Does that make sense? And then if you die outside the Lord, it's too late for sure. And you can't seek him then, you'll be separated. So then as I thought about those texts in the Old Testament, and there's more, I want to give you a few New Testament texts and then I'll give you the invitation. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 13 through 16, be salt and light. Matthew 6, 33 in the Sermon on the Mount, the first priority of our life is to always be seeking first the kingdom of God. Now, I want to say this. I see people and know people in this congregation that have repented and turned from their wicked ways and started doing Matthew 6, 33 and 34. And when they made that commitment, they are better people. They're right here in this congregation. That's all of us. And all of us have a past. And we got a past we're still trying to clean up. But let the Lord clean that up. You stay focused on the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33. And all of his goodness and blessings are your promises. They're to you, to me. So then Matthew 11:28 through 30. I'm going to go two more and then I'll quit. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Royce mentioned this last Sunday morning, and we allude to it a lot. But Jesus is the one that says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. That exhortation to come and learn of Christ is the greatest exhortation you'll ever accomplish in your life. You'll come learn of Christ, then I guarantee you, he will give you rest. If you're weary and you're not able to rest, it's because you haven't come unto Christ and you're not learning of him. Then the final one in John 13. I love friendship, and the older I get, the more I value friendship. And Jesus says in John 13, 34 through 35, a new commandment I give you, to love one another as I have shown you, as I have loved you. Jesus mentions multiple times, and Paul will mention this in Romans 5, 2. It's very rare for a man to lay down his life for another man, but it happens. And he marks that sacrifice as a true measure of friendship, sacrifice, and loyalty, love. And Jesus would get down and wash the feet of the disciples to show them his servitude. He would sacrifice his life and say, I will lay down my life for my friends. and ye are my friends if you do my will. I ask myself a lot, why do I do what I do sometimes? When I don't even want to do it sometimes. But it's a matter of principle and loyalty. I don't have choice in the matter. I have to do what I'm doing. And I want to know and believe that that's the Lord's will. Because I know that we all have selfish desires. That's the sins we have to repent of and overcome. But that should only illustrate our kindredness one to another, that we're here to help each other. And as we overcome those selfish desires, and we be honest about that, but commit yourself to the Lord and sacrifice yourself for His cause, then I know this. The best friends and the best relationships I have ever had are those people in the church that are doing the same thing I'm trying to do. Does that make sense? Maybe that's the greatest exhortation I can leave you with. And so as Jesus would say, you are my friends if you do my will. Well, then we are His friends, and we are friends if we're doing His will. And that is a natural, absolute bond that is not based in dollar signs. It's based in eternal principles and fellowship and love. And so I hope that you have that same experience here at 9th and Main as we continue to work together. And those are some exhortations I wanted to leave you with. If you're not a child of God, you haven't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we always make that invitation possible and known when we're together like this, that you can obey the gospel right now. You can repent of your sins if you haven't done so and you're ready to do so. You can confess the name of Christ before men publicly and be immersed, baptized into water for the remission of your sins. And you tonight, you can rise out of that water of grave baptism, a New Testament child of God, a Christian saved from your sins. And now you've got the best friend you'll ever have. If we can help you make that decision, then don't hesitate. This is the invitation of the Lord. If we can help you, pray with you, if you need the encouragement of the congregation, then don't spurn the invitation. Again, as together we stand and we sing, won't you come?